This is Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, and I'm delighted to be speaking with Rob Corddry. Yes, I know you know the name. It's Rob Corddry, formerly of The Daily Show, currently of Adult Swim's Children's Hospital, and a regular at Jeb Barrier's Telluride Comedy Fest. He's returning this year, and we're talking about his life and work. Hey, Rob, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Susan, thanks for having me.
So I understand you were selected for The Daily Show from a casting call for which about 300 wannabes showed up, including Ed Helms. And then the two of you were chosen. Is that urban myth or is it true? And were you really chosen? And were you really chosen because you knew nothing about politics but a lot about poop jokes?
Well, that would be a terrible, terrible thing to look for, but in a new hire. But I don't know how many people auditioned. I mean, I think, you know, if you were living in New York and L.A. and you had ever said a funny thing, they probably auditioned for it. But, Ed and I were hired out of that sort of large cattle call. And I do count poop jokes as sort of my forte. I'm probably way more interested in that than I am politics. But I don't know if that's what got me the job.
Oh, okay. Okay. While you were on The Daily Show, you shaved off your frontispiece. Why did you do that? Did you see the king and I in your future?
I'll answer that with another question. Where did you get the word frontispiece?
From the dictionary.
What is frontispiece? Making stuff up.
No, I'm not. No, I swear I'm not. But it was, you know what I mean, that little bit of hair in the front of your head that disappeared.
Yes, my wife called it the tuft. I kind of think of it now as a sort of a young man's comb over. You know, if I tipped my head the right way in the mirror, it would look like I still had a full head of hair. But I shaved that for Harold and Kumar 2. The directors were very nervous one day, and they approached me and they said, "Hey, can we talk to you about something?" And they asked me to shave off the frontispiece.
Yeah, that.
Me to shave off the frontispiece. But it was almost like they were asking me if I would go full nude. Like it was that uncomfortable for them.
Yeah,
so I kind of marvel sometimes at the fascination with my Tintin like tuft.
Oh well, okay. But the answer was not the King and I then.
Oh yes, the King and I. Yes and no, mostly no.
Okay. Draw me a map in words of the path you took to The Daily Show. Weren't you a classically trained actor and graduate of the University of Massachusetts Amherst? And didn't it all begin there and then go downhill in New York?
Do you mean downhill after leaving college?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I have very fond memories of it. I spent a lot of years just kind of going to auditions and doing really crappy plays. And yeah, they were mostly classical, period Shakespeare plays, mostly starring Jeb Barrier as well. And then somewhere along the lines, I realized that I was only playing jackasses and clowns, so I just kind of stumbled into comedy, and that was about it. And I got involved at the UCB Theater, and that has become a sort of launching pad, sort of like Saturday Night Live was, is. And I was just really, really got in there at the right time.
Okay, thank you for that. Are people wrong to expect people like you to be funny on cue? Is that sort of spontaneous combustion possible if you're not Robin Williams?
Well, I used to. You just described the result of years and years of therapy. I used to definitely feel that pressure and used to provide that that combustible material on cue. But you know, I realized it was from, I sort of developed that dubious talent, you know, for kind of you know, all the wrong reasons. I was very socially awkward, and used sort of comedy as a defense. And now, luckily, I don't feel that pressure anymore. And I sort of deal with my awkwardness in other ways. And now I can just, but now I still have it as a muscle, and I can calm it when I need to. But nothing is worse than a comedian that will just not stop, like the aforementioned Robin Williams.
Thank you for that honesty.
Although I gotta say, I heard a podcast with Robin Williams lately, and it was just great. He was just so calm and honest, and it was really, really interesting.
Okay, thank you for that. Once upon a time, when I was writing for the local daily, and you and I first talked, you told me in an interview about Ed Helms, and you said he was gay. And then Ed Helms said, you were a gambling addict and a mail-order minister of the Church of Universal Life. What was that all about?
The one thing out of those three things is true. Which one do you think?
I'm afraid to go there. Church of Universal Life.
I was at the time a minister in the Universal Life Church, which is a which is one of those matchbook sort of ministries, and I did it. It basically, I think, it created as a tax shelter, or if you want to like marry your friends. I used it for the parking pass. You got a free parking pass and an ID, very official looking, and I put it in my car, and I never paid for parking in the 5 years I was driving in New York City.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was a very public exchange about gay and minister and all of that, and printed in the local papers. I still have copies of it.
Uh-huh. Well, boy, I mean, I am nothing if not barely controversial.
Right. So is it way easier doing television and film work because those media protect you from sort of the silence at the end of a skit or a bit? Do you and performers like you feel those moments when you're doing live performances?
Oh, my God. Every comedian has a story about, you know, bombing. And, of course, sometimes it's a whole show and sometimes it's just a joke, but it's terrifying. Yeah. The prospect of that. And I definitely went through a period of a couple of years doing improv where I was just deathly afraid, and it affected my improv. The fear affected my performance. And so I learned to sort of shut it off and just move on. But that's not to say that a silence after a joke doesn't hurt. But wouldn't it be a strange world if we like fled into film and TV for comfort from that?
Yeah,
that would be,
yeah.
That'd be great. We do film and TV because it pays us a lot more money than telling jokes on stage.
And they're tightly scripted, aren't they?
Well, it depends on what you're working on. I did a Law and Order where it was very tightly scripted, and then I did I just finished doing another episode of Community, and it was very loose. On my show, Children's Hospital, we'd be silly to stop some of the actors from improvising because they're some of the best improvisers in the world. So I think today, in today's comedic climate, showrunners are more than happy for comedian to sort of go off the page.
Okay, thanks. I once upon a time asked you what's funny, and you answered with a story about your great-grandmother and stuck on Christmas bows and monkeys and gorillas. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, gorillas are definitely funny, mostly if you're French. But, you know, my great grandmother, that was really funny. You know what else she used to do? She was so funny. My father and her would play this game where he would write her obituary. Really, really funny. They used to do it all the time, and I don't really remember the details of it, but, you know, I'm sure the details were just absurd. But I remember at a very young age appreciating that the absurdity of what was happening.
And do you have anything to add besides gorillas and monkeys and Christmas bows and obituaries about what's funny?
What's funny? I'm pretty sure that about covers it. Yeah, I mean, I think we got it. I was going to say robots, but that was funny like 2 years ago. So that's it.
Okay. And can you tell us what to expect, a little bit of a preview of your Telluride experience? Last time I asked you that question, you said nudity.
Ed
Helms was gay. Yeah, you said those things.
Well, one of those things turned out to be true. Which one was it? No. You can definitely expect me to be hungover on the slopes.
Okay.
And I'm going to be doing a lot of improv, and I am hosting a sketch night. So I'll whip up some bits for that, and there might be another fun sort of thing that we're thinking about doing, and if we can get it together, it might change comedy. So that's what I'm going to do this year: comedy,
and also
nudity.
Okay, perfect. So come see Ed Helms on March 16th, likely naked, at the Sheridan Opera House. He is part of the upcoming Telluride Comedy Fest. It takes place Thursday, March 15th through Sunday, March 19th.
And Ed Helms is going to be there?
And no, he's off being gay. So
okay.
This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside Out. I've been speaking to the one and only Ralph Cordry. So again, Comedy Fest, get your tickets now. And Rob, thanks so much for joining me.
That was a pleasure.